Welcome to Office Hours. It's the top of the house, so we'll go ahead and get started. This is the half-hour-ish segment where I talk about NEOS and get NEOS questions answered that you may have. If you have a question, please drop it in the primetime questions for today's date up in the Office Hours text chat. There's a few channels above this one. You'll be able to find it. I'm going to go ahead and ping the Office Hours group again so people know that it's starting, and then we can go ahead and get going on any questions that we have. Right now we have none, so if you want questions answered, get them typed into that thread. As a reminder, with a lack of questions, we just sit here and we talk about nothing a little bit different, etc. All right, there we go. A question here from Stella who says, how do you feel MMC is going to go this year, size and world complexity-wise? I'm not quite sure. It's been a little bit of a while since we did one. It was last February. We moved it from October to February, so it was better for sort of an international market. There's not much changes in terms of sort of rules and categories, so the same freedom that we had is still there, so we'll just have to see what happens. I'm hoping that we have a comparable amount of entries, although it might be more. If it's more, that's great. If it's the same, that's great. If it's slightly less, that's great. I'm not fussed. Soap says, have you had your daily dose of cheese today? I have not. I did go grocery shopping, though. I had a bunch of errands to do. I had to go to the post office, and I had to go grocery shopping, and then I got back, and I'm like, wow, that was exhausting, and I fell asleep on the couch for, like, ever. So I'm here. Hello. Jekyll Girl says, are you going to be building anything for MMC? I usually do chuck in an entry in. My actual entry for MMC every year is actually the voting system that's used to allow you to vote on entries, though. So that'll for sure be built. But yeah. Rampa says, better for international market unless you have an exam period going straight over at Prime. Well, there's a problem here, which is that we can't please everyone. And sometimes it feels like people are trying to ask us to do that, and it's just not—it's not possible. We figured out that by making it in February. Last year we had a little bit of a weird one where we did it in October and then February, so you know it was a bit like, this again? We've only just finished it, but now we're locked to February. It should be good, and it's better for the international market overall. The greater good needs to come up. You know, sorry that you have exams during it, but the rest of the world has other stuff elsewhere. Specs is talking about squeezing time in with their full-time job, etc. As a reminder, which we remind people every single year, don't overdo it. You have the ability to plan ahead, reduce scope. Don't submit your world within the last 5 minutes of the competition. People will do it. At least one person in here will do it, but please don't. You know, plan ahead. Yeah, I know. I know, Specs. Their team's about explicitly overdoing it, but, like, you know, I also say it every year as well. Practice publishing a world, saving a world, managing a world, creating a world. Don't make the first world that you publish, the first world that you save, the first world that you create your entry. You may come across issues that you don't expect to happen if you've never done it before. Also, did you know that you can publish your entry and then continue working on it? So let's say it gets to the last week and you're still making polishing changes. Publish the entry and then continue working on it. That way you don't have to panic, right? You just have to make sure that the world continues to function roughly. Like, for example, if you're tweaking visuals towards the end in that last week, it can be published. You're just tweaking visuals. If you're just, you know, swapping out some textures or whatever, or maybe some colors, publish it. There's no reason for it not to be published. It's not like it's going to get a bad judgment just for being published early. It'll probably get a better one because you've managed to publish it without stress. Moving onwards, we have a question here from Ozzy who says, in a recent build, I've been trying to use completely local variables. To do this, I value copy on a value register, the same one you spawn out via logics with writeback. Is this fine to do, or is there anything I should worry about compatibility update-wise? Not quite sure that's, like, I don't understand the value copy. For local variables, just use a value user override with create override on write on like a value field or something. That'll probably be a better idea. It'll probably also work on a value register, but I don't know why the value copy comes in. Oh, don't value copy itself. Just value user override. Mr. Damon asks, very broad question, but how do you feel about the future of NEOS? It will continue forwards until the heat death of the universe, so there's lots of future. Don't do that. I don't really have a reason to tell you not to do it, other than don't. I'd have to look into why there, but like, I just have a visceral reaction when looking at that image to say don't. Yeah, I hear lots of advice from people that really isn't registered, like researched or validated or tested in any way. They just discover some sort of hacky thing that's going on, and then it spreads by word of mouth, and at no point do people think, I should maybe research exactly what's going on here. Like, I would have to look into a lot of the data model code to figure out what's going on there. It shouldn't be possible to do that. You know, for example, there's a thing here like, there is no networking. Have you tested that? Have you opened a world with two people in it and default avatars and created, I don't know, like 20 of those and sent it around? Dio asks, how would you go about creating better debugging tools? It depends what you're trying to debug. There is the debug menu that not enough people use, really. It's difficult to sort of isolate what's going on there, particularly when your avatars are complex or, you know, crazy. Hence why I say try the default avatar, or try, you know, an avatar made entirely out of prims, or, you know, like a single mesh. And then try your world or your creation and see what's going on. There's also that thing where if you spawn out like 10 copies of your avatar, you can sort of see what the performance is at scale and with other people that have avatars. Beyond that, we don't really have the suitable debugging tools to give you right now. It'll probably be an initiative that we have at some point once we've got some more features under our belt. I also, I get bothered when people are doing weird things like the above, just because they're like, there's no networking. It's a single float. It's not going to cause much networking load, right? There are like hundreds of floats just for like an avatar existing in the world that are sort of like ping-ponging around. Optimize better. If you want a local variable, then, you know, you should network sync the parameters and then drive the result, and then you minimize network traffic that way. Lou says, is there a way to see what types bool user component field accepts? There is a little hack I sometimes do for that. There are some mods to do it, you know, more effectively, of course. But what I do is I grab a logics interface card for the component. And then if you pull a ribbon out of any of the properties on that component and push secondary, it will sometimes glitch out and just create a blank sort of dark blue, dark purple ref arrow. And then you can look at that ref arrow with your logics tip, and it will tell you the data type that it's expecting, usually surrounded with other weird stuff, etc. It's usually only reference types that you will have an issue there with, because reference types are less clear. If it's a basic value, such as bool, then the colors match up to our standard coloring, and that secondary tip won't help. But yeah, there you go. The get type node is also a good suggestion there, so do keep that one in mind. Dio expands on their question with, I'd like to see runtime performance at a per slot level, like a color-coded heat map results. I would too, but I also wouldn't, because people would use that to judge people, so we'd have to sort of see how we can do that effectively. We already get that. It's like, you have 101 slots. The limit on avatars for this world is 100 slots. It's like, guys, grow up, please. Yeah, exactly. Exactly what Lick says. He can fill 100 slots with access aligners, and they will have humongous performance implications compared to, I don't know, an avatar that has 101 slots or 200 slots or 500 slots. And it's just, you know, an avatar existing in the world. Slots are the last thing you should look at for performance reasons. Start with what it does, and also examine why it does it. A good example, which I always go for, and I don't know if it's just me being British or something, is why do like loads of people just have guns on their avatar? Like, do you need to have a gun on your avatar? Are you going to shoot people? Like, why are you going to shoot people? If you need a gun, spawn a gun. You don't need a gun on your avatar. You're not McCree or whatever his name is from Overwatch, who has a gun like that. Or any of the other characters that have a gun, I realize. But, you know, McCree has one in a holster. That's what I meant. I was talking about holsters. Anyway, point being, don't need it. Does your context menu need to play the Halo theme tune orchestral chorus thingy opera version when you open your context menu? No. So that's a better way to optimize your avatar than worrying about slots. Ozzy has a fun one who says, do you know how to, or point to how to go about slot sorting? Try and make a racing world have, say, first, second, third place using slot order offset. Order offsets are good, but you need to make sure that you're actually setting them. sometimes in UI I've built, I've relied on the fact that new slots will occur after previous slots, and that has screwed up when the gadget or the utility has then reloaded, because when it reloads, it's sort of not random, but sort of indeterminate what ones might load first. So sometimes they get out of order. So if you, as long as you're, you know, setting that slot order offset on creation when you drop it into like a collection of slots, then it should be okay, particularly if you're using UIX, which plays attention more to that. If you're still having issues with that, you can also do it mathematically. And in mathematical sense, you'll have to, you know, adjust rect transforms or the positioning of you know, individual rect transforms to make them in the order that you want, which would be hilariously bad. Stella asks, is there any way to write drive a nullable value? You can write it, yes. I'm not sure about driving, but absolutely. Oh, no, you can drive it as well. Yeah, sure. You're looking for the nullable nodes. Once you have the nullable nodes, you'll have the ability to drive and write them. I think I have a video on the nullable nodes. Do I not? Okay, I will have a video on the nullable nodes very shortly, because that's a really easy one to do. Yeah, I can't remember which folder of the Logix browser they're in, but... There we go, actually, Lex found it for me. So operators nullable, use those nodes. They are pretty self-explanatory, but I have just added onto my to-do list a task to go ahead and make a video on that one, because it's really simple once you know what you're doing. And thank you for the example as well. I probably haven't done a video before because I can never remember where nullables show up, but the near and far clip is a good example. Scant talks about the horrible Logix from before that said, would this be the component equivalent of using Logix to drive itself? Quite possibly, yes. Internally, value copy and the drive system use the same sort of code. Internally, there's just like a piece, it's not exactly this, but there's a piece of code which is like, you know, drive this field by this field, and value copy operates on that, but sets up some other settings for various reasons. So yeah, pretty much. Hanu Hanai says, what causes the lag spike and voice dropouts when people join a session? That is usually avatars or some parts of the syncing process. So when you load in, you load your avatar, and loading your avatar will load all of the data about your avatar. That includes all the slots, all the assets, all the logics, all the equipment, all the guns, all the Halo context menu opera singers that you've got in. And that is what causes the hitches. We do have the ability to optimize that with some work. We just haven't done that work. People get a bad rap for that. So, you know, maybe experiment with your avatar and trying to make it better. There are optimization techniques on the wiki under optimization guidelines on the wiki or something like that. Big main ones are bake your blend shapes, try and reduce the amount of materials, textures, etc. Try to avoid gadgets and stuff you don't need on your avatar, and that's about it, really. Ozzy asked an interesting question, which actually drives me mad. I just haven't had the opportunity to like write up my thoughts on it and be like, here's what we should do. They say, if you are in charge of organizing Discord channels in here, is there anything you would change for the better, in your opinion? Absolutely. Let's go top to bottom. All right, okay, cool. So... we need to get rid of the distinction between community and Neos channels, because it's very confusing. The Neos development stuff needs to go above the Neos channels, probably in the welcome and basic info thing. Welcome and links is good. Guidelines needs to be removed and just referred to the wiki or any of the Google Docs that we have. The FAQ channel needs to be removed and just referred to the wiki or any other FAQ source that we have. The Discord groups channel needs to be deleted. It was part of a promotional thing in 2019 that no longer exists, so it can just go. The welcome lobby needs to be deleted. We don't need to see when people join the server. For administration and moderation reasons, we have another channel that does that you guys can't see. It's just a member log. Common with many Discord servers. The welcome lobby is just a place where it says the people have joined, and we don't need that at our scale. We have thousands of people in this Discord. It's not a functional channel. Coming down to, it's just the weird gap where we have Neos developments and community just needs to not be there. What else have we got coming down here? And then we need to enable the like flashcard badge thingy that pops up when you join a server that other servers have, but ours doesn't for some reason. It sort of says, like, here are the rules. Here's where the channels are. Here's what you can do in each channel. Here's a channel we recommend. You know, that's all sort of configurable. He's got, like, a welcome screen feature or something. We need that fixed. Announcements probably needs to go into the Neos development section or move higher into welcome and basic info so it's clearer. Right now it's sort of like at the bottom of the Neos channels section, which doesn't make any sense. We need to reorganize the community meetings channel so that it is more centrally located around office hours, so I don't have to say several channels above, I just have to say one channel above, etc. That happened when we created voice chat 2, 3, and 4 because it was busy. The Patreon voice chat needs to be deleted because it doesn't matter. Why does it exist? Voice chat text needs to be deleted. The reason behind that is because Discord now natively has a text chat per voice channel. And if you don't like that feature because it's not obvious that it's there, I completely understand, but there's no way to turn it off. And therefore what you end up with is 2 voice text channels per voice text. The one that like Discord wants you to use, and then the one that which a server creator has created, and it gets really confusing. So the best way around that is basically to go use the Discord provided one. Yeah, we know the experience is a bit bad, but it's better than the alternative where the conversation ends up happening in 2 separate places. Then I would combine alpha testing and testing. I don't know what the difference between alpha testing and testing is, so that would be combined. I would move the preview features above the international channels. Whilst I, you know, like our love our international channels, etc. there and international communities, having those features above might cut down on the amount of people getting lost and confused. Yeah, there's an alpha testing channel. I forgot what we were alpha testing, but there's an alpha testing channel. I don't remember what we were testing in it. I think it's something to do with Beppu 2. I really don't remember. I think you get it if you have the danger tester role. I don't know. I would also consider deleting the archive channels. You know how we archive each MMC, we archive the asset variant system and GDC 2020. While an archive channel can make sense to sort of preserve the conversation that occurred, at a certain point it just becomes a detriment because it appears in my search results when I'm trying to find information. And it's usually old because no one can type in there anymore. I'm going to move on. Like, I would change basically everything about the Discord layout, but it's not up to me. So moving forwards. Rampus says, how about a new component to trickle load heavy avatars that's added on world root and make it run by priority of model textures? That's not the solution. So a lot of times we come up with this issue, which is people come up with a solution and then they occasionally, Rampa hasn't done this, but occasionally it does happen. So Rampa, you're not doing this, but I'm about to rant about it anyway. People go, I have a solution for this problem, and then they explain it, and then they get mad that we haven't implemented it. The best way to ensure that that doesn't happen is to state your problem, not your solution. It's called the XY problem. So we do have a couple of GitHub issues open about sort of world load order, controlling the load order, etc. The best way to do is to go to those issues, comment on them with any information or stuff that you need, thumbs up them, etc. And then we know that people want us to work on that, and then we'll solve the solution there. Because the solution, unfortunately, is not a component to trickle load heavy avatars. Trickle loading heavy avatars would be more about the interfacing between the actual loading process in C# and Neos itself to make that better. Like, I don't particularly know what's wrong. I haven't looked into it enough. But examples, and again, this is examples because I have not looked into this, so don't quote me. Perhaps the loading of avatars isn't multi-threaded enough. I don't know. Perhaps the order in which we load an avatar could be flipped upside down or sideways to make certain bits load before other bits. That's all data model stuff that isn't component stuff. The components are on top of the data model. Stella asks, what are your thoughts on avatar culling systems, and do you think they can be integrated as a native feature? They should be integrated as a native feature. While I like all of the avatar culling systems that exist, you shouldn't have to do that. Like, that is firmly in my mind as one of the features you shouldn't have to do. And while it's great and I love seeing those spread and being used in worlds and they do make the world better, there's like a twang in my heart or whatever where I'm like, we should have solved this for you. We should have solved this for you. Like, every single time there's something complicated that all of you guys are doing, I'm like, we should have solved this for you. You know, another good example would be Syro wrote an entire mod for this game so they could avoid Logic's interface cards because they got so bothered by Logic's interface cards. And I've been there. You know, it's like 3 a.m. You've been working on Logic's for hours. You unpack the Logic's and then like the Logic's interface cards are like, yo, let's party. And then they're just like everywhere and you can't do anything about it. Rampus says, I thought the spike was caught by everything starting load at one moment. Yeah, that again, that like fixing that would be data model. It wouldn't be the component layer. Oh, yes. My some people I needed to respond with tax information have got back to me with tax information, which means I need to process about 40 PDF files and send them to my accountant. I'm going to have so much fun after this office hours. Oh, so much fun. I just thought I'd let you know that. Sorry, the email came in and I saw it was tax and I'm just like, oh, damn it. Dia says, how much of the performance issues are caused by Unity? Not quite sure like how to measure that. Like you can measure it in various ways. So there are issues caused by Unity forcing us to be sort of down rev on the basic C# language. There are also issues which caused by Unity forcing us to be on a down rev version of .NET, which is built on top of the C# language. And both of those things can lead to performance issues. Then there's rendering, which can lead to additional performance issues. Then there's just how Unity puts stuff together in the renderer, which can cause performance issues. There's the interop, which is how we communicate with Unity that can cause performance issues. There's just so many angles there, and I don't really know how to measure that in a way that would make sense. It would be quite considerable, but the amount of work required to replace Unity is also quite considerable. Lou asks, do we know why Logic's cards seem to multiply when unpacking with multiple users in the session? Yes, that is a long-standing bug which every single person that has ever had access to the code base has tried to fix and failed it. You know, there's that image about a comment. I'll try and find it really quickly. Yep, here we go. There's various parts of this, but this is, you know, that is Logic's interface cards. So yeah. Fruits of course try to fix it. They of course understand it the most. But when new people are added to the team that have access to the code base, they're like, cool, I'll try and fix that too. And then they can't. So yeah, I know Coffee tried when they're on the team. I know Outsider tried. I know I've tried. I know Gaines took a look at one point. Like we've all tried to fix it, but it's been difficult. So what's meant to happen is that when the Logic's interface cards spawn, either by unpacking or when you spawn them because you're creating your Logic's, that Logic's interface proxy component is meant to sort of mark one that exists, and the whole system is meant to pick up on that and say like, all right, this one is the one that we should use. We don't need to generate another one. But something really confusing in the engine goes like, yeah, I don't know. I can't see that one, or something along the lines of that. So it makes a new one. On top of that, though, I don't know why they move. Like, if they didn't move, I would have less of an issue about it, but they randomly move, and it's really confusing to me. They usually seem to just get further and further away from things. I don't really understand that. Like, I understand when it's like a tool or a gun or a weapon, whatever you want to call it, because that's being rotated and spun around and passed between people, etc. But in that case, I don't understand why they're not just sort of turning upside down or sideways and stuff. They appear to just sort of be, like, orbiting and going further and further out, and I don't understand. It's taking a look next. Ozzy says, is there a way to change the max amount of undo steps in the world? You can do it via the slot, but it's non-persistent and doesn't save. Probably a feature request for that one. There's probably a reason we have it at a certain level. I know that we need to do a lot of work on undo. Undo is fantastic, but if you've been playing Neos enough, you'll know that some cases undo doesn't do what you want it to do, and it can actually cause problems. It's either an operation that you've done does not register via the undo system, or it does, but not in an order that you can control, or it's a multi-step process. And so what you get is you do undo and you've only done like half of it, and then you need to hit undo again, and then you start spamming it and you undo too much. Like I had the grab, I was recording a video the other day and I had a grab. And so I let go of the grab. I can't remember what it was. I was just grabbing something. And it was in the wrong position. So I thought I'll undo it. But for some reason, the undo system didn't register that grab. And so it popped up the undo tree to the next undo, which unscrubbed through a video, which is a key part of the recording. We were, some of the medical stuff, we were following a video, which is a patient exam, letter by letter, procedure by procedure. And we were using the video as a sort of like reference about what we needed to do. And so I unscrubbed the video like back to the start of the video, and then we'd lost our place, and we didn't know which test was next, and it was just like, yeah, undo system, why? All right, moving forwards, Lex says, there's quite a few features in NEOS that people use stroke exploit that are only possible due to the component's logics having side effects. For example, the component that manages the whisper bubble allows you to distinguish between a normal whisper bubble, a voice message bubble, only due to the fact that it's a different color gets set on the bubble material for a voice message or standard bubble. Would you rather people use these kind of side effects or have separate options for every single component logics node to properly expose those features? I would rather there be a separate property, etc. So trying to just double check I understand here. Okay, so you're detecting that a voice message is happening on your avatar because it uses a different color on the bubble. Yeah. Instead, there maybe on the whisper bubble manager or whatever, we should have checkboxes, which are like in conversational bubble, in voice message bubble. And then that way you can key off those Booleans. Keying off that material would probably be problematic because if we change the default way that bubble works, then suddenly the color isn't changing and then your code breaks. That problem that Lex has described here is identical to the problem behind the whole permission thing. People are like, I want to get the permission role, etc. And it's like, yeah, you can get it in like five different ways, but like none of those are recommended and they're all on the things to avoid list because they're hacky and we want to provide a way to do it properly. But to do that, we need to do it sort of securely, and we're not quite sure how to do that one yet. People say, why securely? Well, think about it, right? There's a piece of logic which says, if you are a builder, you can do super awesome admin thing, and it's using strings for comparison. Well, I could write some logics which finds that string, or write a mod which finds that string, and update it to, if you're any role, you can do super, super admin stuff. And it's not secure. Proppy gives examples of the undo system being weird. They say drawing, move or delete a stroke, or hit undo. Maybe it goes to the wrong spot or doesn't undelete. Yeah, the drawing system's kind of weird. It's like one of the examples of where the undo system is usually good, is the drawing system. But I understand how like there's sometimes gaps there. With that, I've seen chat die down, so we're going to go ahead and call it here. We are at 8 minutes over. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed the questions that we've answered. If you have any more questions, please drop them in the questions and help channel, or ping me directly, or open up a GitHub issue if it's a feature request. Quick reminder, just randomly, if you have an issue that is moderation in nature, make a ticket, don't DM me. I'm just going to ask you to make a ticket. Faku, if you have a question, please go for it. I will make an exception for you because you seem sad that you were too late, so go ahead. I will wait for one more minute, so you better type quickly whilst I talk about moderation some more. Yeah, if you have an issue that's moderation related, make a ticket, don't DM me, don't come into NEOS and talk to me about it, just make a ticket. Feel free to come and talk to me about it, but I'm gonna tell you to make a ticket. The whole world has their eyes on Faku. Oh, there we go. Faku says, when you scale under a very small height, the lighting gets very buggy. Yes, that is caused by floating point imprecision. Floating point imprecision is caused by the computer that you're running NEOS on being unable to represent such small numbers. You need to understand how floating points work to like really understand why that's the case. The only way for us to fix it at that scale is for us to switch to using doubles, which are double length, double width floats for position, which isn't something that is popular or common in computing right now. I'm sure it will be as we sort of move towards better computers, bigger processors, etc. But it just isn't right now. The one thing I will say to that, though, is remember that you have a lot of headroom above compared to below. And so something I've been experimenting in with worlds that require smallness is making the default scale of the world times 10 or times 100. And what that gives you is a little bit more precision back the other way. You know, you don't have to start at one. Move the needle to the left, make everything 10 times big, including users. You can do that. You can make them 10 times bigger. They won't even realize it if you do it correctly. And when they shrink themselves, there'll be a little bit more room in the maths. Not much, but a little bit more room. It occurs in basically every game. Good example would be, I know they fixed it, but in Minecraft, there used to be this thing called the Farlands, where when you went really, really, really far out in the world generation, it would get weird because math was breaking down. There's an example of it in VR chat. I know there's actually a world where you can go through doors and they'll teleport you large magnitudes away from spawn until floating point stuff happens. I have one of those worlds half built. I stopped building it when Fruks made it so that when you get to the really, really problematic floating point numbers, you just respawn, because then it was less fun. More recently, Syro was there. They found this weird component in Uncategorized, which is called like up, down, button control or something. Anyway, we made an instant Willy Wonka elevator and took us up into the sky to floating point range. That was fun. With that, we'll go ahead and leave off. As I said before, ask questions wherever you want them. Ping me, DM me, whatever you'd like, and I'll get back to you whenever I can. I will speak to you next time. Bye-bye.